And let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to read verses 32 to 40. And we'll be finishing up the chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to be looking at the evidence of faith. The evidence of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. This is God's holy and inspired word written to you for your good and for your blessing. Hear the word of the Lord. And what more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. Faith subdued kingdoms, worked right promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became turned to flight. Women received their dead raised to life again. Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And a good testimony through faith did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time in the Word. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, we do now come to the preaching and reading of your word. We ask again, Lord, that you would write these things upon our hearts, that you would fill us with your spirit even this moment as we hear your word preached, that we might understand by faith and that we might also live by faith. And that you, Lord, would be glorified through this living by faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit continues to set before us people who in the past have lived by God's promises. People who have died still did not receive the promise of God that they were waiting for. And here today in the end of chapter 11, the Holy Spirit, and you through this author, he begins to summarize this call to living faithfully. With a few names and with a vivid description of what these people and more show us by faith. And he is giving us evidences of faith, implying that faith, true faith, biblical faith, the kind of faith that God gives to his people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for him, this kind of faith will give evidence of itself. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, we are going to see three evidences of faith in various people and circumstances. And here is what we'll see in regards to these evidences. First, the evidence of your faith is your actions. The evidence is your actions. Secondly, we'll see the evidence of your faith is in your suffering for Christ. And thirdly, the evidence of your faith is your waiting, waiting, verses 39 to 40. Now, as we read this chapter, you can see that there are like five or six names that are put before us here, but they're just the names. There's nothing really said about them. And then the Spirit goes on to give us descriptions of what they did, how they suffered, and what they were waiting for. And so we're going to follow here and just talk along with the situations in which He gives to us, which tells us what is the evidence of faith. So first, the evidence of faith is in our actions. The first description the Holy Spirit now uses in a more general way is to gather up a large set of examples of faith in action. If you notice in verses 32 to 34, that as I read them, it was filled with action verbs. The whole passage was filled with action verbs, things that described these people not as much as about their name and who they were, but about what actions they took. And so, as we read through verses 32 to 34, we heard these words, these action verbs about their faith, which was said, their faith subdued, their faith worked, their faith obtained, stopped, quenched fire, escaped, became received. And each of these words describes a person who, because of their faith, took a certain action to accomplish God's will in their life. And without this faith and without God's will being revealed to them, they would not have been able to do these things for God's glory. Now we can say, take action. I have seen other people subdue kingdoms. I've seen other people be persecuted. I've seen other people turn away enemies. But the thing behind these people is that they were doing it because of their faith in God and for God's glory, not for their own purposes and not to accomplish something for their own glory. And that's the difference. But all action by and in God alone. So it's good for us to look at these in the way that the Spirit has given them to us, briefly, but yet making sure that we understand what the Spirit is telling us. And remember, the Holy Spirit in Hebrews 10:38, just before chapter 11, talks to us and says to us, the just shall live by faith. Reminding us that the Christian faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and living out our life according to Christ and His Word, is not a sit-down faith. And it's not just a talking faith, though that is part of it. It is a gift faith because the Lord calls us to do. He calls us to live in this world where faith is rare and to live by faith in Him. And so it's not a sit-down Christianity, not a do-nothing faith, but a do-something. And to do something is that which the Lord has called us, regardless of our challenges, regardless of the suffering. And so the people here were not just using their mouth. They were by their life, living by faith and trusting in God. So let's look at then the people that the Spirit gives us to look at. And again, like I said, He just lists their names and then goes on to list all their actions. And so we're going to just look at them briefly. Now, as I was preparing the sermon, as if I was listening to the preacher, that to hear him go through a list of things can be challenging for those hearing. So I challenge you. I'm going to go through the list, however briefly, but I want to cover what the Spirit has covered. And so, stay with me, even though it is like a list, okay? So first, the Spirit of God, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel, and the prophets. So let's first look at Gideon. And don't turn there, but I will tell you that you can find an account of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and 7. And because and God through the Lord, He overthrew the altars of Baal Which at that time, in the life of Israel, you know what the punishment was for overthrowing the altars of Baal? Death. The punishment was death. And so this is why to obey caused him to be killed. Not only that, with a reduced army against 500 men, and they went up against an army of thousands. Children, listen. They didn't go up with spears and knives and chariots and horses. Do you remember what they went up with? They didn't go up with battle weapons at all. They went up with horns. They went up with pitchers. And they went up with lamps or candles. Something inside those pitchers. They didn't use battle weapons because their faith was in the Lord, and the Lord would be their warrior. And so that's going up against challenges, formidable challenges. And yet by faith, he took action because he believed in God's word. That would have been a prime time to say, "Oh, I believe you, Lord. But I don't think I can do that. That doesn't make sense." But he went up against those armies. He went up against his own people, because when he was taking down the altars of Baal, he was in Israel. And his own people were worshiping God falsely. And he could have suffered death at their hands. But by faith, he took action. And then we have Barak. He, by God's word, led an Israelite army to defeat Jabin, king of Canaan, who was fighting against Israel. Again, by faith he took action. Hearing God's word revealed to him, he went up against an army and defeated them. Samson, the Spirit puts to us next in Judges chapter 16. Samson, a judge in Israel, and he was known for many things, some sinful. The Bible portrays Samson as who he was, a sinful man. Because of his sin, because of revealing the secret of God's power in him, he became a slave, a captive to the Philistines. But ultimately, he cried out to God that God would use his strength one more time, even as a captive when those Philistines were mocking him and abusing him. He cried out to God for strength and knocking down two big pillars in their temple to Dagon. The temple came crushing down and destroyed those false worshipers there. Jephthah, from Judges chapter 11, a mighty warrior who delivered Israel again from another enemy of God. And of course we have David. We could look at many things about David in many passages of Scripture. But we're just going to look at one. Maybe one that you children might remember the most. And that's the episode in David's life when he was fighting the giant Philistine, Goliath. David, as a very young person, in the midst of a whole bunch of warriors and older people, was the only one who trusted God to deliver that giant into his hand. So by faith, he brought that giant down. And I know you remember how he did it, with a sling and a stone. Not a sword, not a spear, not a chariot with horses. And so I say this and bring this out to you particularly here is so that you young people know that faith is for you as well. You are called to live by faith as well. It's not just for grown-ups. It's not just for when you get older. Because as a young person in the covenant household of God, in the covenant family of God, you are going to face challenges. And it will take faith to do them according to God's word. Such as the challenge to even obey your parents. Isn't that a challenge sometimes, young people? It is, isn't it? And that's what the Word of God calls you to do. And so that's God's Word revealed to you to do that. Satan will try to tempt you not to do that. And when you're not obeying your parents, you need to realize that is Satan's work. It is God's work that you obey your parents, even if it's difficult, like taking on a giant. That's faith. And it's faith that God gives even to young people, that you may walk according to His Word and take action in your life. Now, you can obey your parents with a heart of rebellion. That's not faith. You can obey your parents just out of fear of what might be happen to you. You might lose a privilege or something. That's really not faith. Faith is to obey your parents even when it may not seem right, because it glorifies God. And that's to be your chief aim. So here we had some older people, we had some younger people living their lives by faith that the Holy Spirit brings out to us. And then there's Samuel that he talks about. And also there's much to be said of him, but we'll just look at one. And we'll look at the instance in 1 Samuel 12, verses 16 to 18, where Israel had for a king like other nations, and God gave them a king, the man Saul. But and rain upon Israel during their time of harvest, destroying much of their crop, so that the people of Israel would recognize they had done wrong in asking for a king rather than seeing God as their king. Samuel did this at a time when he wasn't going to be popular with the people of Israel. But it is what the Lord called him to do. And so he did it. And he did it by faith. Other prophets, like Elijah, who gathered all the prophets of Baal and the people of Israel to a mount, set up an altar, and said to them, if Baal is God, then worship him. If the Lord is God, then worship Him. And in the midst of these false prophets of false gods, he prayed and asked God to come down and consume the sacrifice that was on the altar before him. Whereas the prophets of Baal, who did not have their prayers answered, no matter what they did, when Elijah called out to the Lord answered his prayer. And so by faith, Elijah did this and showed that it was the Lord who is God. These are some of the people that the Holy Spirit brings up to us in verse 32. But now in verse 33 to 34, we get a detailed list of the actions that others took by faith. And if we were to go down through these lists of actions in the Bible who match up, are described here in verses 33 to 35. So that's what we're going to do now. Again, a little bit of a list, so stay with me. The first thing is, they subdued kingdoms. Now that's a big part of the Old Testament. Joshua, David, others, and subdued them. A lot of times, often in the case of greater warriors against them, bigger armies against them, more. But all the while, God was teaching them to trust Him for their win, for their victory, and not in their own strength, and not in horses and chariots. As we read in Psalm 146, not good to trust in the princes of men, but he is blessed who trusts in the God of Jacob. So they subdued kingdoms, people like Joshua and David. Secondly, it says they worked righteousness here in Hebrews chapter verse 33. They worked righteousness. Now this may refer to general holy living throughout their lives, but it could also refer, as we're talking about particular actions, of people who stood up when everybody was wrong, and God used one person to stand up and execute righteousness. And for this we could think of somebody like Phinehas, who in Numbers chapter 25, he stopped the judgment of God on the people of Israel by killing an Israelite who brought into the camp of Israel. One man, Phinehas. God withheld the plague on Israel that he was bringing in judgment because of their sin, because one man by faith decided to put a stop to it. He worked righteousness. Next we see the word received promises. And Joshua again was promised Canaan and received it by faith. In action. We went all through the book of Joshua a few months ago. And so we can remember that. We can also look back to David. We could also look back to Gideon, who was promised victory over the Midianites, even though God reduced his army from thousands to just 300 men. They received promises at that moment. Now in verse 39, we're going to see that all these did not receive the promise, but that's a different promise. So we'll get there and we'll address that. Next we see they stopped the mouths of lions. Children, do you remember somebody who had to face lions? Do you remember that situation? We can think of Samson who faced lions, David who faced lions, but let's also remember Daniel. Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, but none touched him. Now, lions can be really hungry and really ferocious animals, but none touched him. Do you know why? The Bible testifies, here's the reason. Because he believed in his God. By faith, Daniel stopped the mouths of lions. We next see the phrase, quenched the violence of fire. And that's why we read Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't worship the king's image. No. Not doing that was death. Knowing the penalty would be that you would be thrown into a fiery furnace. But they had so great faith in God. They had God. So why would they fall down and worship this image that King Nebuchadnezzar had made of himself? They wouldn't do it no matter what God decided to do. But by faith, they quenched the violence of fire. Then we're told, next, escape the edge of the sword. Moses was under the threat of Pharaoh's sword and escaped. Elijah, Jezebel's sword, after he had destroyed all those priests and prophets of Baal on that mountain where they sought to see who was God. When the priests and prophets of Baal failed, Elijah and Jezebel sought to destroy Elijah by the sword, to do to him exactly what he had done to these priests. So he escaped the sword. Next we see, that could be said about a lot of people in the Old Testament. But one in particular, it comes from 2 Kings chapter 20 of King Hezekiah. He was one who was weak in sickness of his body. The Lord had told him, you're going to die soon. But the prophet Isaiah told him from the Lord that he was about to die. But his prayers of faith gained strength of God for 15 more years of life. So out of his weakness, out of his body, about ready to die, he was made strong because he believed. Then we see the words turn to flight. Again, we could pick out many people in the Old Testament who turned their enemies to flight. Joshua and David turned enemy aliens away. We've already read about others who did the same thing. And they all did this not by their own strength, not because they had greater armies, but by faith in God. And children, one of the things that I think we can apply to our lives here is oftentimes when your parents are telling you to obey, sometimes the devil will tempt us to think, well, I have my own strength. I have my own wisdom. And I can do this in such a way and not obey my parents and avoid discipline or avoid trouble. That's never how it works. We're not to rely on our own strength to make a way for us, as we sang in Psalm 25, but to rely and to by faith believe and trust in Him. And there we will be victorious. Women received their dead to life again. Both alive. They healed sons of widows. They by faith fell upon them, and the widows received their sons alive by faith. From all these verbs that we see here, we can see that the faith that God gives to people is a faith that takes action. It's not a faith that just speaks about it and then doesn't live it. James chapter 2, verse 18 tells us this. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my work. How I live is the evidence of my faith. Yes, we must speak about our faith in Jesus Christ with our mouth. But we must also live out our faith by taking action according to God's Word. The Apostle Paul also verifies this and confirms this in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, saying, for by and that God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are Christ Jesus, for God. God not only elected you to salvation in Jesus Christ, before you were ever born, He also determined that those who come to Him, believing in Jesus Christ, those who He gives the gift of faith, He will also give you work to do. Ways to give evidence of the faith that He gives to people. And so while we hear in chapter 11, in the first couple of verses, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, but there is an evidence of, and it is seen in how you follow God in your actions. And there is no God-given task that cannot be accomplished, children and adults alike, by those who act in faith in the God who gives you faith. And that's what God is calling and giving us evidence here in the lives of these people. That those who come to God by faith will give evidence of that faith through their actions. Whether it be in the daily course of our living, whether it be children obeying your parents, whether it be adults obeying their bosses at work or the government that gives us laws when they agree with God's Word, obeying God's Word in the family, all these things. Those are the general descriptions of our daily life, and sometimes those can even be difficult. But you know and I know, and children, if you don't know it, you will learn it, that living the Christian life in this world will present great challenges to you, because this world is not the friend of God, whereas you are, and you're trying to walk according to God's Word. This world will say, no, you shouldn't do that because of this, and that will be your challenge, whether you are going to walk by faith in believing God's Word, whether you are going to listen to the tempter, the evil one, the devil, or whether you are going to listen to God and walk by faith. And God says, here's some people that I'm showing you who have done it. And what I want you to know is, these were just people. They were not heroes. They were just people who had families, who had children, who had brothers and sisters, who had jobs, and who had faith to do what God had called them to do in the midst of challenges. Faith also gives evidence of itself through suffering. Men will not suffer for God or for a God they do not believe in. Men will not endure the pains of other men for Christ's sake who do not believe in Christ. And that's our second evidence of faith. Faith gives evidence in our suffering. And we see this in verses 35 to 38. And here, this passage of those who did suffer extreme tortures. If you look at verses 35 to 38, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. There are Christians even today who suffer torture. We may say to ourselves, well, I don't suffer torture, but the Bible's not just written to you, it's written to the whole body of Christ. And you haven't suffered torture maybe yet, but maybe you will. And so faith is going to be required to suffer through it. Because even though these women received their young back to life again, we endure suffering for a better resurrection. We endure suffering for the resurrection of our bodies to be united with Christ in heaven forever. They suffered these tortures because they were looking for that better resurrection. And this is a comparison. The word better, where the women received back their deads in physical life. Their dead sons back to physical life. We are looking for a resurrection, not just for this body, and not just for life here on earth, but for eternal life. That's the resurrection that we are looking for, hoping for, and waiting for. And it is the one that is worth the torture that may come because you are a Christian. And while there were likely many people in the Old Testament times who suffered, especially in the days of Baal worship in Israel, for Israel and even Judah, many commentators think the Spirit here is referring to something more recent to the minds of the people of the book of Hebrews who have just received this letter. It is talking about, as he describes them there, that they happened just a couple of hundred years before the life of these Hebrews, in a time during the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, a ruler who came to Israel and sought to destroy it in 170 B.C. Epiphanes brought, and the history of these things is well known. It's not a guess. This actually did happen to God's people. Josephus, a Jewish historian, tells of a mother of seven sons during this time who were tortured like what is described here in the book of Hebrews. And he writes these words, "They every day underwent great miseries and bitter torments, for they were whipped with rods and their bodies and were crucified while they were still alive and breathing." And the one account specifically is registered with Josephus. He says that Antiochus, the ruler, came to one mother who had seven sons who would not deny God, who would not commit to not following His law. And Antiochus said to the mother of these seven, he said to her, "Counsel your youngest son to give up God's law in order to save his life." And she said to him, "I will counsel my son, saying, fear not this tormentor, but being take thy receive thee again in mercy with thy brethren." Even this mother, by faith, was counseling her children to not give up faith in God at the expense of their death because of the greater resurrection they were looking forward to. And so these tortures that they might receive a better resurrection, a resurrection unto eternal life. And then in verse 36 speaks of those who by faith suffered mockings. And those are throughout the Old Testament. One such case is Micah 22, who told King Ahab, and he did this in the face of all the other prophets who said, "Oh no, the Lord is with you. Go into battle and you will have victory." But Micaiah told the truth. And he was imprisoned for telling the king the truth of God. And his truth did come true for Ahab, who lost that battle. These further descriptions of sufferings and stonings, sawn in two, being tempted to deny God and His ways. These are all the persecutions that the people of God suffered at various times at the hands of their enemies, or even sometimes even the people of their own nation. These are the kind of persecutions that God's people have gone through before and since Christ. These are the kind of persecutions that were going on at the time of the book of Hebrews and after the writing of the book of Hebrews. These are the kind of persecutions, though we're not very familiar with it, still happen today for Christians who are willing to live by faith and suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've said this before, and it's well known, that we as American Christians really do not know the littlest inkling of severe suffering for Christ's sake. But when it does happen, let me encourage you, if it does, to not be surprised by it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14 tells us this: "Beloved, the fiery trial which is to try you." He was telling them at that time, don't be surprised of the fiery trial that you're going to go through. You are going to go through it. As though now, that is something that is also true about our culture of Christianity, is that when we do face severe trial, we're like, whoa! We're surprised by it. We might even be surprised when we hear about it happening to other people. But the Bible, as if something strange were happening to you, not to be surprised, but to rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is exceeding joy, if you are the name of Christ, is that how you think? That if you suffer for Christ, what a blessing. Usually, when something happens to us that we consider good, like a material thing, or even a family thing, or even children, those kind of things, and they are blessings from God, that's what we call blessings. But we call suffering for the name of Christ a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for this suffering. That's what we're called to do here. Bless God rest upon you. On their part, who persecute you, He is blasphemed. But on your part, He is glorified. Verse 38 tells us how God sees these saints who suffered for their faith. Verse 38 tells us, of whom the world was not worthy. Those who persecuted them, those who put them in chains, put them in prison, sold them in two, were basically saying, you are not worthy of this world. There's no keeping you around. But God says this world is not worthy of them. Psalm 116, verse 15 tells us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Why is it precious? Because the Lord sees them suffering for His name's sake. Precious to Him. Worthy. Worthy to Him are those who suffer for the cause of Christ. Now these saints did not see all that God promised them. That's something else we as American Christians When we follow God's Word, we oftentimes are thinking, okay, I follow God's Word now. I need to see the fruit of that. I need to see the blessing of that. I need to see the Lord do something for me. Well, here these saints were doing these things, following God's Word, and for the hope they had in Christ, and yet they did not see the greatest promise in their lifetime. They did not see all that God had promised them. They saw some things. Joshua saw the promised land given to him. David saw his, after God had promised him the throne, David saw the day when he took the throne. So they saw the promise that he would defeat the Amorites, the Midianites rather. But they didn't see the promise. They didn't see the promise of the Messiah on earth in their lifetime. But they still endured the suffering. They still endured the challenges by their actions. Because faith sees promises as something that has already happened. That's as good as had already taken place because of the one who had promised it. Which takes us to our third point, which is this in verses 39 to 40. The evidence of your faith is your waiting on God. All these who live by faith in action, who suffer by faith in persecution, they did not see the promise. As we see here in verse 39. They did not receive the promise in which they believed would be fulfilled here on earth. But it wasn't because God couldn't deliver on the promise. It was because it wasn't in His timetable or in His plans for them to receive that. And that is what faith is. Trusting in God to do what He says when He is ready to do it. And so God may call any challenges. God may call you to face some. And you may never see some of the blessings that you think you ought to see in this lifetime. But you will receive the blessings because God promises it. They didn't see the promise that they were looking for while they were here on earth. That includes those who were before Christ and also those who have come after Christ came. We have not yet seen all the promise of God fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that promise that these saints who lived by faith, suffered by faith, what is the yet to see? And that is the promise of the Messiah that first came to us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the seed would have its heel bruised. That is the promise that's also included in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. The God, and in thee shall rest. Those Old Testament saints who lived by faith and suffered by faith did not see the good news of Jesus Christ covering the earth. And chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child, a son is given. And in Isaiah 45, verse 7. But Israel shall be saved with an everlasting. They did not see all this because Christ had not yet come. But their faith endured, and they continued walking by faith, living by faith, and suffering by faith. And yes, saints who have passed on before Christ have now received rest and free from sin and fear, but they still had not received the promise. The full promise. For they and many others are waiting for the resurrection of their glorified bodies. All those who have gone on to be with the Lord in their spirits, their bodies are yet to receive the full promise of salvation. Just like people who die today in Christ. Their souls go to be with the Lord, but their bodies go to the grave. And part of the promise is that the body and the soul will be united at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is that resurrection that we are also looking forward to that is better. And so to live by people with Him forever, That's a promise that we haven't seen fulfilled yet, but we are going to. We will be with the Lord when we pass away from this life, waiting for our bodies to be resurrected and glorified. Now, this was important for the Hebrew Christians. It was important for them because they were being challenged to not walk by faith, not suffer by faith. They were being challenged to abandon their faith. They were going to suffer. They would suffer loss of job and loss of community, loss of losing their lives. The Spirit of God is calling them to look back and see how faith, looking and waiting for this same promise. And these examples of faithful people are set before us here for that reason as well. That we will not give up believing, no matter how challenging this life gets, no matter how much persecution there is, that we are to be a people of faith, living and suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, you have faith so that is doing and suffering for the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. As we live out our lives in a lost and dying world, a world that is opposed to Jesus Christ, we are called to face every challenge this world gives us, every persecution they may throw at us, to live by faith. Our great challenge is not that somebody is trying to burn us up with fire, not that somebody is trying to kill us with the sword. Our great challenge is this: living as a Christian before God and before this world, when on every side they press us not to. They press us to do those things which are wicked. They press us to do those things which go against God's Word. Satan tempts us to do those things. It is there that right now we are faced with the challenge of living by faith in our daily walk with the Lord, which can be just as hard. But all and all their sufferings are not set before us for us to admire them. Say, oh, look at Daniel. Oh, look at those three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Aren't they great? To the point where we now have become Christianized culturally to say Hebrews chapter 11 is the hero's hall of faith. These people would not have seen themselves as heroes. They would have seen themselves as simple people faithfully following God's Word. And so we are not to admire them. We are to emulate them, which is to follow their example as they waited for Christ. The last verse, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. This is also instructive to us as an evidence of our faith, because we are to be waiting. We are to be waiting and hoping in God. God will deliver on His promises of salvation. He has on His promise of salvation from sin and reconciliation. So what is that better thing that God is giving for us to wait upon? What is that better thing that they were not made perfect or complete yet apart from us? And it is something that is for us and them. Something better for us. Something better for them. Something better for us after Christ. Something better for them before Christ. That they should not be made perfect apart from us. In other words, we are by faith in Jesus Christ. And so what they're waiting for is what we are waiting for. We are waiting for the final, full culmination of all God's promises in Jesus Christ. We are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, that all things will be wrapped up. And God's final plan of salvation will be completed, and He will take His people to be with Him, with the Lord forever. This is a promise that goes beyond the death, beyond death and the grave. And I want you to listen to these statements from God's Word, which call us to faith, to believe, and give us reason to endure anything in this life as we wait for the final promise of God to be fulfilled. And that is to take us to be with Him forever. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that these bodies, this tent is destroyed, these bodies, we have hands where? Here on earth? No. Eternal in heaven. And in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are present with the Lord. These are things that speak to the promise that we're waiting on, to the fulfillment of the whole body of work of salvation through Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for we believe that Jesus died, even so God those who sleep in Jesus. Do you have people you know and love, family, friends, who are in the body of Christ and have passed on from this life? When Jesus comes back, He will raise them up and they will go to be with the Lord. When He who is our life shall appear, we shall appear with Him in glory. And finally, a passage that we should all be very familiar with, knowing quite well, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58. Now this does not inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. See, this is something that's going to be completed yet in the future. O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Although that's great and wonderful to know, but the apostle sets that out there so that then we will believe that by faith, and then we will take action. For look at what he says in the last part of that verse. Therefore, you will put on incorruption, because you will put on immortality, because Jesus Christ has given us victory over death and sin. Therefore, stand in the Lord. Steadfast and immovable and abounding in the work of the Lord is equivalent to saying, be faithful in challenges and in suffering, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This resurrection, this putting on incorruption and immortality, this is the perfection that the Old Testament saints who live by faith are now waiting on, just as we are waiting on it as well. And it is laid out here before us to exhort us to endure by faith all things in this earthly life. And so we shall always be with the Lord. And it is then, when that final resurrection takes place, and all the bodies of current saints and former saints who have passed away will be raised up to be with the Lord. And that is the receiving of perfection. So like Old Testament saints, we must endure by and sufferings, persecutions, faith in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who faced these things as well, and faith in our own death, that we will die and we will be resurrected by the power of Christ to a new life and eternity. It is this faith that gives us the power to endure challenges, testings, and trials and sufferings. To live by faith, and all the way to our death to die by faith. For those who have this kind of faith do not draw back to perdition, but we believe to the saving of the soul, which is what Hebrews 11:39 tells us. So God-given faith is evidenced by action, by suffering, and by waiting on God to deliver His promises. The question is, we have to ask ourselves, children and adults alike, is that the evidence of our faith? Is that how we are believing? You can't control what challenges come to you. You can't control what trials come to you. You can't control what persecutions or sufferings come to you. Or if they will come. In some form they do, and they will come. So the question is, do I have the kind of faith? The kind that God gives to His people. That will give the evidence that that faith is in me through Jesus Christ. If you have that kind of faith, praise God, because it comes from Him. But if you don't have that kind of faith today, pray God would give you that kind of faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and all His promises and to live and suffer for Him today. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank You for reminding us of these saints of Yours who believed and trusted in You, living out their daily lives, suffering for Christ, and the promise of His coming, and the promise of the better resurrection, that both we, after Christ, and those who came before Christ, will be made perfect and complete, as we are raised to new life in eternity with You forever. We ask, Lord, that You would strengthen us in our faith, that we may give the evidence of it. And we ask